I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Visit www.mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and services. And we thank MTN Business for partnering with the Tech Central Show to bring you these great interviews. My guest today is Sandile Dube, MD of the South African subsidiary of Equinix, which is a US-listed data center operator that earlier this year said it was investing about 7.5 billion rand over the next 5 years in data center infrastructure in the country and possibly on the continent as well. Sandile, welcome. Good to see you. Are you still expecting that level of spending over the next 5 years, and where is it going to be directed?
Yeah, so firstly, Duncan, thank you for having me on your show. It's great to be here with you. Yeah, absolutely. So I think what's quite important to note is just a little bit over 3 years ago, we made the decision to enter the African market, and we did so through an acquisition that we had made in West Africa. We acquired a company called MainOne, both a data center infrastructure as well as connectivity business. Following that, we then made the call to, or the decision to enter South Africa, which was really establishing the business from scratch or from the ground up. And together in South Africa as well as in West Africa, to date, we spent just over $350 million. And we've also set aside a further $390 million really for expansions in those markets, both in South Africa as well as in West Africa.
So we're talking $350 plus $390 million.
That's right.
To get the total of investment that you'll be putting into the African continent. Is Africa a particular focus for Equinix at the moment, or is it making these sort of investments all around the world?
It is a very specific focus for us. I think, firstly, Africa presents very unique opportunities for us as a business, but also I think there's a good demand of the services that Equinix brings to bear that Africa as a continent stands to benefit hugely from. So from that point of view, for us, it really makes sense to enter the African market and to continue to seek expansion opportunities where it makes sense on the continent.
So you're in West Africa, you're in Southern Africa, South Africa now. You've built a data center in Johannesburg, which we'll talk about in some detail in a moment.
Sure.
What about East Africa?
So look, I think we continue to look at expansion opportunities where it makes sense. I think not only East Africa, but other territories are under consideration at the moment. However, I'm not privy to go into the detail of that at this point in time.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so you bought MainOne in West Africa. MainOne, of course, is known as built one of the first subsea broadband cables to connect the African continent, specifically markets in West Africa. Does Equinix usually enter markets through acquisitions, or does it normally go for sort of a greenfield approach?
Typically, we actually enter new markets through acquisitions.
Okay.
If you look at the trend where we entered new markets, we really acquired into those markets. In South Africa, for us, it really made more sense to really establish the business from the ground up. An acquisition was a consideration in the early stages of our consideration to enter the market. However, we opted to follow a slightly different strategy for South Africa for very specific reasons. And I'm very delighted that we did so. I think we're starting to see and realize the benefits of that particular decision.
Okay. Can you unpack that a little bit more about why you decided to take that approach in the South African market specifically? Was it that you couldn't find an asset at the right price to do an acquisition?
It was a combination. It was a combination of really finding the right asset at the right value, but also a combination of the opportunity that will really deliver the result or the return that we were looking for as Equinix within the period of time that we were looking at. And it really made more sense when we did the due diligence that it will be more beneficial for us to really establish the business from the ground up as opposed to an acquisition.
Okay. So you've been in the role for how long now?
Just close to a year now.
About a year. Okay. Yes. And you were previously the MD of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise in the South African market.
That's correct.
Have you always been in the IT space?
I have. I mean, prior to that, I was I was in the systems integration business. I worked for a company called Dimension Data at the time.
Yes. And then, NTT.
Now NTT, correct. So yeah, I've always been in the IT sector, correct.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the infrastructure that you've built already.
Yes.
You've got a facility which I haven't visited yet. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do that soon.
We'd love to host you there soon, Duncan.
In Isando, which is the east of Johannesburg, if anyone doesn't know Joburg, kind of between Joburg and the airport, which is kind of becoming data center central, if you like. There are a lot of data centers in that area. I presume there are good reasons for that. Why did you decide to build there? And tell us what you've built.
I think firstly, we're building a 20 megawatt facility in Isando. We've just completed the construction of the first phase, which is a 4 megawatt facility. Mm-hmm. I think firstly, it's really the acknowledgement that Johannesburg is really the economic hub of the South African, firstly of the African continent. And then it presents very unique opportunities for us to really take advantage of the interconnection opportunities that reside within the Johannesburg area. Mm-hmm. Also, there's that benefit of access to utility services. Obviously, being in close proximity to the airport does come to bear with a number of other benefits as well.
No load shedding. I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. One of them being that, certainly. But I think it's also quite important to note that at that facility, mm-hmm. it's 100% covered by renewable energy.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, the load shedding aspect of it is something that obviously does play a significant feature in terms of deciding the location of the data center. And, yeah.
Okay. And you've got the racks and servers in at this stage? Have you signed up clients that they're operating from that site?
We're busy deploying as we speak. So our operations team is really inundated with the level of work that they need to do at this point in time. Duncan, I think I must say we've been very overwhelmed by the level of demand of the services that we bring to bear. I mean, the number of customers that are busy deploying at that facility right now, for me, it really exceeded my expectations already, and I'm very pleased and very humbled by the level of demand that we see for Equinix in South Africa to date.
I'm guessing you can't tell me who your clients are, but can you maybe give us some indication of who's going in there and what type of clients you're trying to attract?
It's really a combination. It's a diverse group of customers. We've got a range from undersea cable providers, i.e. Seacom. I can mention some of those names. We've got the likes of Liquid Telecoms and the like. So it's really a diverse range of clients, ranging from subsea cable to network service providers to a number of enterprise customers as well.
Okay. And what about content and those types of providers? I know that there's a lot of demand from so-called broadcasters, call them OTT players.
That's right.
Looking to distribute content in the local market. Are you hosting some of those players as well?
None yet, but in discussion with quite a number of them. Also, very important to note that we're only launching the facility on the 23rd mm-hmm. of October.
Okay.
So it's still really early stages for us, but very pleased with the level of prospects that we have on our radar, yes.
Okay. So you mentioned this is phase one that you built, the 4 megawatts.
The 4 megawatts,
of
yes.
20 in total that you've got planned at what I presume is a campus of data centers in Isando. What are the plans for phase two?
Yeah, so in fact, looking at the demand, I think we'll soon be kicking off phase two. So the team is already planning phase two and three. In fact, phase two and three will be 8 megawatts each.
Okay.
But not only that, I think we're not waiting for the completion of that particular facility. We're also just continuously looking at expansion opportunities in and around South Africa. Mm. So in due course, I think we'll make some announcements in terms of our further expansions beyond the Isando facility.
Okay. Would there be other cities?
Correct.
Okay. So possibly somewhere like Cape Town, for example.
We'll see.
You've made no commitments yet, but I'm just, I mean, this where the demand sort of seems to be centered is Joburg and Gauteng. Sorry, Gauteng and Cape Town, Western Cape.
That has certainly been the trend. Yeah. And I think for us, we're very specific in terms of where we want to build our data center facilities and that. So there's quite a number of areas that we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And breaking ground on the second phase in Isando, is that going to be dependent on customer take-up when you decide to pull the trigger on that build?
I think we're already having that discussion. And again, the level of demand and the amount of customers that are deploying right now, I think it's far exceeded our expectations. And I think for us is really pulling the trigger, so to speak, on the second phase to ensure that we meet the demand that we're seeing. So that could happen a lot sooner than some people realize.
Okay. Now, I must ask you this. There's a huge amount of investment that's gone into data centers and continuing to go into data mm-hmm. centers, mm-hmm. Particularly in South Africa, mm-hmm. To serve both the South African market and Southern Africa and often yes. Sub-Saharan African markets from mm-hmm. Joburg from the Western Cape.
Yes.
I was driving between Stellenbosch and the Cape Town Airport a couple of days ago and saw this data center construction on my right. I think it belonged to Teraco. But the size of it was mind-blowing. And it's not the only one that's going in. These data centers are popping up all over the place. Is there overinvestment going on in your view? Do you think that the market can sustain the billions and billions of rand of investment we're seeing in data center infrastructure in this country? Is it justified?
So Duncan, you know, if you consider South Africa as a start, that we are, in my opinion, we are a growing digital economy. So the increased usage of the internet, e-commerce and other digital services, that really drives, in my opinion, the demand of these facilities from a data center point of view. And also given the advent of artificial intelligence as well as other emerging technologies, that requires infrastructure to support that particular demand. And I also think that if one looks at the competitive nature of South Africa, where these facilities bring to bear all of these new or emerging technologies, so therefore it also plays well to South Africa's point in terms of our global competitiveness. So I do believe that, yes, these investments are warranted. Some analysts do say that we slightly perhaps not investing to the levels that we should be investing, given the demand that we see, not only in the country, but also globally.
The your data center in Joburg, I presume, is located in the city of Ekurhuleni, is that right?
It is.
So it's not in the city of Joburg. How's your relationship been with the city of Ekurhuleni? Have they been quite helpful in assisting you in launching it, the facility?
They've really been great. I think, firstly, I'll mention that, you know, we've received a great deal of support, both from a national level to provincial level to the municipalities. I think the Gauteng leadership has really been superb in their support. In fact, just last week, we met with the mayor of the city of Ekurhuleni, really keeping track on the commitments on their part in terms of ensuring a seamless deployment and a seamless transition of our services. And yeah, I can't thank them enough for the level of support that we receive from them.
What about energy security? And it's not just energy, it's actually water supply as well, because data centers, and I believe these AI data centers, are particularly demanding when it comes to the need for water. I presume that's related to cooling. How worried are you about the, I mean, we know there's load shedding in South Africa. It hasn't happened for the last 6 or 7 months. Let's, let's hope it doesn't reoccur. But that these must have been concerns that were top of mind as you were considering building this data center. What reassurances did you receive that you're going to have a secure supply of water and electricity going forward to power this facility?
I think, you know, the partnership, what we did, and I think it's worked well for us, is really a partnership with the utility provider or providers has really worked well for us in really partnering in ensuring that, firstly, we don't put further strain on the grid. As a result, our very first facility is covered by 100% by renewable energy, and we'll continue to look at initiatives that make sense together with utility that really drives the ambition of not putting further strain on the grid. But so far, I think we've again, the partnership, not only with the city of Ekurhuleni, but also with the utilities, has really been great. And it's been well-defined in terms of what they can and what they cannot do, as well as they defining the limitations that that they might have, which to date there hasn't been really any. And I think so far it's really been great.
Okay. You mentioned it's powered through renewable energy. Is that through some sort of a wheeling agreement with a renewable energy supplier elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, so it's a combination. So that's one of it. Yes, absolutely. So and we also looked at PPA's agreements. So yeah, that's precisely it.
Okay. Can you disclose the nature of that relationship with the renewable energy, where you're getting the power from? Is it a solar farm in the Northern Cape, or?
Not at this point in time.
You can't disclose that.
No.
Okay. I wanted to ask about, we mentioned the demand for electricity and water from AI-specific data centers, and I know that companies like Microsoft and others and Google, et cetera, have been building out vast AI data centers in the US in particular. I don't think there's been a lot of AI infrastructure deployment in South African data centers yet. Presumably that is coming. What impact do you see that having on the energy situation here in South Africa, given just how demanding these AI data centers can be? We know that Microsoft and others in the US are talking about restarting and deploying new nuclear power stations to actually feed the insatiable appetite of these NVIDIA chips that are mainly used to power these AI workloads. What impact is this going to have on data centers in the South African context?
Look, we're enabling that capability at our facility in Isando.
Okay.
Obviously, understanding the demand that they have on power is very important, and how we provision the power into the facility is equally important. And I think for us, really, the combination of, firstly, the partnership with the utility provider, the 100% renewable energy at the facility is also instrumental in ensuring that we can provide those workloads, the customers that demand it, at the pace at which they want it.
Okay. How quickly are you going to be scaling that up, and how much demand is there for local AI workload capabilities in local data centers?
I think what's also quite important to note, Duncan, is at all of our facilities, I mean, firstly, if you look at our deployment globally, mm-hmm. we've got Equinix Fabric, which really connects all of our facilities globally. And I think it really works well for customers that have an interest in accessing new markets. So mm-hmm. if you're in a South African business, you can access new markets almost instantly. And equally so, if you're an international business looking to access the African market, you can do so through Equinix quite instantly. So it's not only bearing in mind the local businesses, but it's also catering for the international demand for customers that have an interest in the local market.
Yes, right. Like hyperscalers, for example.
Correct.
Okay. You mentioned the Main One acquisition in Nigeria, and obviously Main One owns a subsea cable system. Mm-hmm. In South Africa, is your interest confined to data centers, or are you also looking at telecommunications infrastructure, like subsea infrastructure, like terrestrial fiber, mm-hmm. and other assets? Is that something that interests you, or will you stick to your knitting, if I can put it that way, in the South African market?
I think for the South African market, for now, we're really going to be focusing on our data center business, and obviously we'll partner with a number of providers, particularly subsea providers, to ensure that seamless connectivity and redundant infrastructure to the rest of the world.
Right, right. Okay. And clearly, I mean, you say that you believe the market is not overtraded and there isn't an overinvestment happening, but clearly the market is crowded. How does Equinix differentiate itself in that market? What do you do differently that other data center operators don't necessarily do? Why should customers consider putting their server infrastructure in your facility as opposed to someone else's?
I think for us, what's quite unique about Equinix, firstly, is our interconnections density globally is really second to none. We bring a global platform where customers can really access any markets, obviously where we've got presence. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's quite unique. Where we operate on a global scale as opposed to a regional scale. So we're really giving customers that access to the rest of the world, and giving the rest of the world access to South Africa is very key and very unique about what Equinix does. Equally so, we also provide cloud-adjacent services or digital services, not only cloud-adjacent services, but also that piece of connectivity which I referenced earlier, which is the Equinix Fabric, as well as bare metal services, all encompassed around our digital services. So it's not only the co-location services that we provide. There's a whole lot more of other services that customers can really take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. On interconnect, what does the interconnection situation look like at your Joburg data center currently? I presume you're encouraging as much interconnection
Absolutely.
There as possible. Do you see a need to launch an internet exchange at your data center?
So we've got Jinx busy deploying as we speak. So obviously there is that particular focus.
Mm-hmm. Jinx, of course, is the Johannesburg Internet Exchange, which is operated by the Internet Service Providers Association.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. Correct. So they're busy deploying right there as we speak. So that, for us, it was quite encouraging to get the level of confidence to have them deploying at that site. And I'm sincerely hoping that will obviously attract and drive the scale of interconnections at that particular facility. And also bearing in mind that the vast majority of the deployments happening there currently is really around the network service providers. All of those, for me, are really the right indicators that that site is really becoming or building a good capacity from an interconnections point of view.
Was there a lot of fiber in the ground there already when you decided to build at that location? Was that one of the reasons you built where you did, or did the telecommunications operators have to pull fiber into that data center from elsewhere?
There was some capacity of fiber that was already there, but they also during the deployment, there was more fiber that was just pulled into that facility.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, Sandile, lastly, just tell me, give us an idea of where Equinix is going in South Africa. What are the plans in the coming years? I mean, you've alluded to expanding your data center infrastructure and possibly building outside of Joburg as well. But beyond that, how do you see the business evolving in the next few years?
Duncan, I think I really appreciate the growth that we've had in our business. I've only been at Equinix for just short of a year. And within a very short period of time, we've built that business quite significantly. I mean, we've got quite a number of people. We've attracted some of the best minds in the South African market to help us run our operations in South Africa, and we'll continue to do that. But also, we'll continue to look at expansion opportunities, not only in Johannesburg or Gauteng, but also in other provinces within South Africa, so that we able to meet the demand or the demand signs that we are seeing in this particular market. And fundamentally enabling South African businesses to take advantage of this global platform, particularly those that have got ambitions to access or trade in international markets.
Sandile Dube is MD of the South African subsidiary of Equinix. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Duncan. It was great talking to you today.